What's up, everybody? Pastor Joe here. Super excited to bring you another episode to the Foundation Podcast. I'm going to bring you something today from my heart that I feel like the Lord has laid on me. I've been doing a lot of studying on a particular topic, and I feel like even though you're stuck indoors, that doesn't mean that you can't still be witnessing to people. Now, witnessing for a lot of people does mean talking about Jesus to someone. And since you can't be in groups larger than 10, and if you're in Bowie County, you can't go outside in groups anyway. There are several other places in which you can't do that. But, you know, I feel like there's still ways that we can witness, because witnessing isn't about speaking to somebody about God. It's about living a life that exemplifies God to others. And there's lots of ways that you can do that, and you don't have to be full-time in ministry in order for that to be the case. You just have to live your life, you know, according to the way that Jesus lived his, and that would be being a witness. It actually comes from the same root word that we get the word martyr from, which means it's to show somebody that you're living a life or you're willing to die for this purpose. But a couple of things, I feel like the Lord has just been laying it upon my heart to kind of bring up this whole witnessing to people. You know, that is the job of the church. The job of the church isn't to show up and go to church in a building, do some praise and worship music, walk around, shake some hands, collect some money, and then hear some preaching. That's not what church is. As a matter of fact, that's the most Americanized way to possibly have church. It's not even the most traditional way. It's just the most traditionally American way that we have church. And since we've gotten so used to that tradition, we've gotten really comfortable within these four walls and not witnessing outside of these four walls, not showing people an example of who Jesus Christ is outside of the doors of the church. You see, we don't need to wait for them to come to us. We should be bringing them in to where they need, or where they can get what they need the most. And you and I both know that that's Jesus Christ, the redemptive saving power that he has. And so right now, a lot of people, like, I think this is probably this is probably one of the best times ever, to be a Christian. Yes, we can't traditionally meet in a church, which does stink. I am not trying to take away from that one bit. I don't want to detract from the fact that I love traditional church services. I love meeting with people. I like doing a large group praise and worship. I like either preaching myself or hearing others preach in that sort of a setting, you know, having teachers come and teach in that sort of a setting. I enjoy that. I am in no way trying to detract from that. The Bible says not to despise or not to discourage the gathering of the fellowship of the people. And so that's what we're here to do in a normal settings. Now, coming every Sunday, you know, here at our church, we do it twice a Sunday. So Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then we also do Wednesdays. I mean, that's three times a week. That's really good. But there are places all over the world where they're seeing revival where they can only meet once a week. There are some places where they can only meet in shelters hidden away from the government, not for fear of a sickness, but for fear of real persecution. I know some people think that we're being persecuted. And I do. I want to make this real clear. You can't say that the government is trying to shut down churches just a month after you're praising the leader of the government for being such a godly and God-friendly person. I'm not saying that he is. I'm not saying that he isn't. What I'm saying is that don't be a hypocrite thinking this, you know, praising him one moment and then chastising the next moment for having to follow these rules that they set up in place. You have to take into consideration, you know, everything that's going on. But in those countries, they have fear of the government literally trying to kill them. And they still get out there and they still find a way to witness to other people. Guys, we're supposed to be an example. Witnessing is just being an example of who Jesus is. It's not about showing up to church. Nowhere in the Bible does it even say that you're supposed to go to church. That's just part of life as a Christian. That's not what you're called to do as a Christian. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that, you know, part of what you're supposed to be doing as a Christian is praying and reading your Bible. That's part of your life. That should be part of your DNA, who you are, when you were made into a new creature, that was what you were supposed to have become. Coming to church and reading a Bible and doing worship, that's all great. But witnessing the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, it's at the end of like the first five books of the New Testament where it tells us to go. Now, we know that the disciples didn't even actually go and start becoming effective witnesses until after Acts chapter 2, when they received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because they received a power to become a mighty witness. And since we're a Spirit-filled church, I think that is one of those things that we should be the best at witnessing and evangelizing, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing should be keeping us from being the example. But for some reason, I feel like we're pushed off to the side and to the fringes of Christianity. But God has called us to be a witness, to live an example of who He was. Right now in America, that can take shape in many different ways of who Jesus Christ was, from helping the homeless. You know, I love the programs that our church does when it comes to helping people with substance abuse problems, when it comes to helping with, you know, dealing with the orphan issue, or just the whole separation of family issue in our community, and what they're attempting to do, and how they help women coming out of struggles of dealing with abuse. And I think those are all the things that God would call the church to be doing. Because I think it's super important that we continue to push in that direction, the way that God has called us to be, in outreaching. Now, I think that before you can reach out, that you have to have a strong base. You don't ever just look at a tree, and it's not just sitting on top of the ground, and then it has all these great branches. No, it has these roots that are super deep, and they dig, and they spread, and they grip and hold tight into the ground. If you've ever seen a tree blown over, you see the base of the roots come up, and you don't even see all of it, because some of like those roots rip out of the ground, but you get to see this huge area underneath the tree that is anchoring the tree down. Because you have to make sure that you're anchored and deeply rooted in Christ before you can be effective at witnessing. Because if you're trying to grow and branch out and reach those outside of your space, of where you are, and you want to bring people in, then you're going to have strong roots. Our church is going to have strong roots. And I do believe that our church, specifically, I believe that Cornerstone has great, strong roots in the Word and in the Scripture. Those are the same thing. I just repeated it, but in the Scripture and in faith and in wisdom, those, I think that we're really well rooted. I think it's time that our focus turns really just, it just needs to explode back out into the community. And that is where witnessing comes into play. Now, I think one of the best examples of witnessing would be to follow Jesus' example. I mean, we're Christians, which means Christ-like, which means we're supposed to be like Christ. So let's look at an example where Jesus witnesses to somebody. And in John chapter 4, Jesus is walking through somewhere where most people would stay away from. So we would say, like, you know, you wouldn't go into the less than affluent neighborhoods, because that's not the kind of area that you want to be in. It's unsafe or whatever. Jesus is walking through this area and he sees a well, and he's like, I need a drink of water. There's a woman out there. And he's like, hey, you want to get me a drink there? And she's like, whoa, hey, you're a Jew. We shouldn't be talking. You know, we shouldn't be having this conversation. I thought your people didn't like my people. And that's just the thing. Jesus goes out and witnesses to the people who you don't like, because Jesus likes everybody. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus gave his life for everyone. And so witnessing is not, here's one of the things that I learned from this is Jesus is talking with this woman, and he's asking, well, he's not really asking her questions. He's posing statements to her, and she is talking to him about what is going on in her life. Witnessing is not a one-way conversation. Jesus didn't show up to that well and start preaching a sermon to this woman. He didn't set her down and say, oh, hey, lady, listen, let me tell you about the Sermon on the Mount. Let me give you this information, and then we're good. Then you can get saved. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus had a real conversation with him. He wasn't with her, he wasn't preaching a sermon to her. The reason why that I believe that Jesus shows us this is that you have to listen to a person to understand them. And if you're going to reach them in the best way possible, you need to know that person. You need to understand them to understand how to best reach them. It wouldn't do any good if, say, I sat in on our Stepping Into Freedom program because I'm not struggling with the substance abuse. Why would that program work for me? I couldn't sit in then our Stronger Women program because that doesn't apply to my life. Right? So we need to be able to apply and show people that Jesus applies to your life in every way, but we have to show them how Jesus can be applied to their life. Not just give them this generic bottle of Jesus and say, here, drink this up. It's going to be good for you. It'll change everything. It's like, no, any person with any two cents is going to think, I want to make sure that whatever I'm dealing with, that is what's going to get handled. And so witnessing to somebody, it's super important that you understand who the person is. Witnessing is a conversation. It's a back and forth. And I know you've probably heard it before, but the most important thing about a conversation is listening. I always liked the saying, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. If you want to know about someone, listen. That's it. All you have to do is listen. There's no magical formula. I want to know more about my wife. Guess what? All I do is listen to what she has to say. I want to know more about the students here at the church. All I have to do is listen to them. Even when they're not directly speaking to me, I'm just listening. The other people in our congregation, the men, the women, the elders, all you have to do is listen to learn about them. When a new person comes through the door, if you'll just sit there and listen to what they have to say, you can show them how Jesus applies to their life. You have to be good at communicating. If communication isn't your strong suit, you need to fix that. You need to learn how to communicate better. I know that I am not always the most effective communicator. I know with my personality, sometimes I can be a bit of a bull when it comes into communication, and I work on that. Lots of times you'll see me, I'm just sitting there listening because I know that if I open my mouth, I'll probably say something that I might regret. And then I'll have to go back and apologize, and that's bad communication. So I practiced listening, figuring out what the actual issue is, and then trying to address that issue. Or if you can figure out that there's an underlying cause to the sin that the person is dealing with, then you can address the underlying cause. You know, for lots of people, say you're dealing with somebody that deals with some sort of sexual addiction. It doesn't have to deal with the fact that, oh, that person is just going out and doing these things. Lots of times there's an underlying cause. Same thing with drug addictions. Lots of times there's an underlying cause. I believe that there's an underlying cause almost 90% of the time. But you'll never find out the underlying cause until you've listened to what the person has to say. In John chapter 4, Jesus didn't preach at the woman at the well. He just listened to her, her concerns about what he was doing there and about what would be said about other people or from other people about them. And then he related his solution to her. He related it. He brought it back home so that she could understand. But here's the thing, when Jesus is explaining this, and I didn't want to take up too much time by reading the entire interaction, but I encourage you, go into John chapter 4 and read the interaction of Jesus and the woman at the well. He doesn't tell her so that she needs to get on her knees and pray and wait to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say all this. He brings it back home to something that she understands. He showed up to a well and asked her for a drink of water. And then she poses these questions and concerns. Jesus addresses those questions and concerns in a natural way, in a way that she could understand. I think one of the problems that we have in the church is sometimes we just get too, well, frankly, we get a little too holy. We try to explain the Bible in the most sanctimonious way possible, and you're just going to miss, it's going to miss the people who don't understand Jesus at all. Even in the United States, just because you were raised here and you've heard of Jesus doesn't mean you know anything about him. Even if they've been in church before, it doesn't mean they know anything about him. So sometimes you have to take the approach. That's why it's important to listen. Because if you're not listening during the communicating of the witnessing, then you'll miss on how to best communicate with them. Sometimes you've got to, in the Army, we call it break it down Barney style. You have to break it down to the basic level so that they can understand. Because if you start talking, I want to say I was talking with somebody and they mentioned that they were talking about Solomon in the Bible. And then they realized, whoa, they don't even know who Solomon is. The person had been in church for a couple of years at that point, and the minister who was speaking to him had brought up, you know, talking about Solomon in the Bible. And the person's like, who's Solomon? And the pastor realized, whoa, I have got to rewind it and break it down even more basic than this. That's important. If you're going to be an effective witnesser, you got to know what you're doing and you've got to know what you're working with. So we've got all of the tools you could possibly ever need in the Bible to be an effective witness. We have the Holy Spirit and we have the Word of God to be an effective witness, but you have to know how to use it. If I hand you a hammer, I've never showed you how to use a hammer. You can kind of figure out a little bit of what it's good for. But man, there's a lot of really cool uses for a hammer that you may not know about until someone shows you. Guys, you have to learn effective communication. That's the key to being a good witness. And that's all God has called us to be. It says in the Great Commission that we're supposed to go out into every nation, preaching the gospel, baptizing in the name, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them the same things that God has taught you and I, which is everything in the Bible. But when Jesus was talking to the woman in the well, he wasn't talking in a spiritual capacity. Now, he was talking in a spiritual sense, but he was using the physical to relate it to him. It's the same thing as when he uses a parable. You see, the reason why Jesus would talk in such a way is because Jesus wanted them to understand how important some of this stuff was. They didn't understand the Spirit. They didn't understand Jesus. They barely understood God. You see, God was this figure that didn't have a lot of direct communication with his people because of the sin that was in their lives. And because they couldn't get rid of it, they had to wait for Jesus to come along. Now that Jesus is here, the people would be able to have a closer relationship with God. But they could only barely understand who God was, who Jesus was, who the Holy Spirit was. And so Jesus would break it down into the most basic ways possible. Jesus would talk about, well, like the woman in the well, he would talk about water. I'm going to give you water everlasting. You'll never be thirsty again. Or Jesus would talk about farming. He would talk about reaping and sowing and planting and plowing. He used those examples because it was something that they understood. He would talk about fishing. Lots of them were fishers. He would talk about building because that's what they did back then. It was, he had to reach them with what they knew. And so I think the only way that you can reach people is to know what they know and relate Jesus to them. Don't water it down. Never water down the gospel to get it to somebody, but let them understand at a basic level of who Jesus is. I have found numerous times people who get saved and walk out of the church and never come back or never pursue anything farther than that. I often wonder, Lord, did they receive salvation because they felt the pulling of the Holy Spirit because of the witnessing that we were doing? Or did they receive it because we were kind of hounding them that like, hey, you got to get saved. You need Jesus in your life, which they do. But if we push that upon somebody, sometimes they take that step and they're not spiritually ready to accept Jesus into their life. And so we have to make sure that they're ready. That's why we have to make sure that we're effectively witnessing so that they understand that this whole Jesus thing, yes, it's absolutely free, but it's not cheap. First off, it costs Jesus everything. Secondly, the Bible says that it does cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything. And I think it's important to step in to Christianity knowing that I want to give everything over to God because God gave everything to me. And we have to be effective at witnessing at that. Guys, I just want to thank you for, you know, listening to what I have to say. I know that I may have been rambling on a little bit, but it's something I feel like the Lord's really laid on my heart. I know that in a time like this, we can be a bit limited in how we can witness, but that doesn't mean that we can't do it. It doesn't mean that we can't be examples. Guys, when you're out there driving on the road, drive like you love Jesus and you love people. Man, there's one thing that like it just calls into Christianity for any person I see that drives like they're out there just for themselves. Like they're willing to weave in and out of traffic and put other people at danger. Like, that's the kind of stuff that, like, even the Lord's dealt with me on. Like, hey, you call yourself a Christian and you say that you love people and you love God's people, and this is what you're doing? Like, that right there is an example of being a witness. You know what? You're standing in the grocery line. Somebody's standing behind you. They got three items. You got a buggy full. Wave them on through. Show them that, hey, I love you. Go ahead. Hey, you got less stuff than me. I always feel like if you have to be in a rush everywhere, then you're everywhere. If you have to be in a rush, oh gosh, I get it out. If you have to be in a rush everywhere that you go, then you're leaving too late. So if you're always trying to run through Walmart and get something, if you're always trying to sprint out the door to get to work on time, then plan your life better, frankly. I have to, even I am not perfect at it. But God has called us to be witnesses, and there's lots of ways that we can witness to people. And witnessing is not talking about Jesus. It's showing people who Jesus is. Guys, I love you. Once again, thanks for listening to what I had to say. God bless you. And I really look forward to being able to preach this Sunday and reaching out to you guys. You're amazing. God bless you.